The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Rikari Austin, and I'm one of the hosts of GCX 2022. Now, we want you to join us at Rosen Shingle Creek in Orlando, Florida, as we come together for another unforgettable GCX. Tickets are going fast, and look, we want to see you. So visit gcxevent.com/tickets to book now.
When your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced, it's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Episode 32, guys.
Episode 33.
Bad intro. Episode 33 of Coffee and Chill. I'm Sleeves. He's Kesso, as always. Through 32 episodes, we're going to talk a wide variety of topics today. I'm going to quickly run down what we're going to talk about. We got some NHL. I got an idea for NHL I thought about the other day trying to come up with YouTube stuff. I actually thought about something that I could implement. That'd be kind of fun. Love to get your take on it. We're going to talk about creator codes and EA. Maybe dabbling in creator codes. That's going to be big. We're talking about gambling on streaming and that kind of stuff. Also, just like... I'm going to talk about Ontario. That's a little bit different because that's a whole other thing. I want to talk about some of my health, bro. Yeah. I've gone through some stuff lately. And then our top five. Top five last week when we were doing this was celebrity crushes. So our celebrity crushes when we were younger. We'll go over that. And all right, let's get into it. Let's start off with my NHL idea.
All right, let's go.
We're an NHL-centric podcast, so we have to do our mandatory couple of minutes on NHL at this stage in the summertime. So I'm thinking about stuff to make on YouTube, and I don't know if it's burnout, but it's just I've been pretty clear that I don't enjoy the game that much this year, so it's obviously harder to make content when you don't enjoy the thing you're playing. But you've got to come up with something creative and story-driven for YouTube. All right, like series, things like that. But they can't be overdone or complicated because then it gets really tough to keep going with them. And something that has always like been like one of the bigger ones that I've seen, even when I started, was starting in Division 10 and then like slowly working your way up.
Yeah.
Okay. And that can be done with a lot of challenges. Like you can only add a gold card or a card when you win a game, that kind of thing. But I'm wondering, what would a progression mode look like in NHL? Like, let's pretend. So we talk a lot about other games and comparing them to NHL. We're still playing MLB, but there's a mode called Showdown, which essentially you get a team, and then every moment that you beat, you acquire a new card if you're able to complete that moment, right? You get a new card to add to your team. But that ends when you play the final boss, and then you basically are finished. You either win or lose, and then you start back at the beginning again. What about, like, if you start in, let's say, the problem is that I would love it if they just put it in Division 10, but let's say there's no divisions, okay? Let's say there's its own matchmaking for it. It doesn't take your rival score or whatever into play until you've played enough games in it. You start out with a starter pack team. All right. And let's say every online win will grant you a new card. And it could be, you know, one of those stupid Hut Rush packs that you get that are pointless, like one gold card or, you know, two gold card pack, that kind of thing, with the Hut Rush progression tree tied into the mode. So now you win a game, you get to, you know, or maybe it's like online seasons to an extent, where, you know, but it's automatically, your team is already set for you. You don't outside, you know, you buy a new card, that's for rivals and Hut Champs and Squad Battles, all of this. Progression mode is simply tied to the progression mode, and you acquire new cards by going up. Now, the cards you acquire in this progression mode are yours. Sure, they're untradeable because it's EA, but like, I think that that might be kind of fun. And like, as you go and further, you're getting more impactful cards, like a guaranteed 85 plus card. If you're able to, you know, rattle off 10 wins or maybe a win streak, or maybe you play squad battles, it could be XP based where you just get XP for, I think that might be where it needs to start, is just an XP system in NHL where completing X game mode gives you certain amount of experience, mm-hmm. and then whatever you do with that, they can do a lot of things with it, like programs and long tiered rewards that are like, you know, basically like a season pass kind of thing. But I would love a progression mode that doesn't reset, that you just can keep playing, and then once you get to the end, you know, when you're in, let's say, Division One, and you keep playing, and you can improve that team by getting guaranteed like 90 overall cards or 88 overall card packs by completing a certain amount of XP. And it just keeps repeating that you can do that. And those cards you can use outside of your meta. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I think NHL's the only one that doesn't have some sort of progression, right? So like MLB obviously has what they have. Madden always has, and I forget what it's referred to, but you try to achieve like Mutt Master or something. Like there's levels mm-hmm. where you gain XP no matter what mode you play. I'm assuming FIFA has one. NHL has milestones, which are kind of broken, right? It could be that if they couldn't do that full on what you want. I would love to see it just because I think the progression in MLB makes it fun for me, right? Like even if you're not getting something every time, there's still that chance, right? It's almost like a scratch-off ticket.
Right? And like, I think that's something that like that's an itch that you can get for people. But I think like, A, this would not be able to be implemented without cross-console. Any real improvement to the game cannot be done without cross-console. We've seen what happens when you separate four consoles in this game. It fractures it beyond repair just because there's no activity. It's very difficult to find activity in the game. So I think that if cross-console is implemented, this is definitely something that could be done. And it's wild that I never thought I would miss online seasons.
Yeah, me neither, because like during that time I didn't really play Hut that much, but whenever I would get on, it was like, oh, I'm, you know, I have the playoffs now or something, right? And you still got decent rewards too, right? Yeah. Like even if it was 12 games during the week, you could get like a carbon collectible at the time, I believe it was. Like something like that was worth something. But like during the week now, you're just waiting for that, you know, next Wednesday whenever rival rewards go out, right? Like there's nothing you can get spur of the moment.
And Rivals was supposed to replace, I honestly, by the end of it, I think NHL 20 is the last year that it was in there. And they did what they always do. They basically pulled back every reward that you could get from a mode so that you just don't play it. And then they go, no one plays this mode, and they just completely remove it because they don't improve upon it. It's like, it's legitimately the model they've done with everything. They did with Draft Champs. Draft Champs was fine. It had the Willie Mitchell and the and the Ray Emery, rest in peace.
Yeah, cards Manny, you could acquire. Was Manny Mehotra one of them?
Yep. And those are really cool. And they were, again, I talk about flex cards, but cards that, you know, you're proud to have because you put in the time and not everyone has them. And then what they did was they didn't have guaranteed rewards for draft champs. And I think the final year before they removed draft champs, there legitimately wasn't a reward. It was it was like play a friend or like, you know, casual.
It was like, and dude, it was just a trash mode by that point.
It was there. It was there to be there.
Yeah.
And they removed it so that, again, they could kind of funnel whatever few people of the player base that still liked that and into other modes that like the few, because the player base is so small. So again, yeah, like I think I don't want online seasons to come back, but I think this progression mode would be really fun because A, let's pretend you start in February, because I think if you start in January, it's the last month where you can start and realistically by team of the season still have a competitive team, like a team where you go in, you're not like, oh my god, this is impossible. If you start in February, good luck, really. especially if you're a casual player. But I think this progression mode would kind of nullify that because you start with a starter team and you're working your way up, but so is everyone else. You know, like early on, you're not playing against the Div 1 guys that have like all 95 pluses on this progression team, right? You're playing against other people that are like-minded that maybe haven't qualified. That, you know, there is a skill rating in the background for this mode, but you don't see it until, you know, after you've played like 20 games, right?
Yeah.
It's just like rivals in terms of the in terms of that. I think that that would just be really fun. And for YouTube and just content and watchability on Twitch, like, man, that would be so much fun. Instead of me or other creators having to make up like series. Yeah,
that's always my frustration. It's like, what can we make up on our end? And then you also have to keep like a file, like an Excel file in the background.
That's what I did for a while.
Yeah, that's it's too much work.
Let me know in the comment section, guys, or if you're listening to this on Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcast, let us know on Twitter or my Discord or anywhere if you think that that's a good idea, because maybe if, you know, if enough people think about it, I'll let EA know, but there's no way that'd be implemented. But regardless, let's talk about creator codes.
Yeah, I brought that up to you. I sent you something. Yeah. I think it was this morning, right? Yeah. It looks like, so for people that don't know, EA Sports rebranded the Game Changer Network. So you and I are no longer Game Changers. I think I still have that in my Twitter bio, by the way, that I'm a Game Changer. So it's under one umbrella under EA, under the Creator Network. And it's looks like they're rolling out a beta for some people in the Sims community where they have creator codes now. Some of the bigger, I think, Sims content creators. And whenever you make a purchase through Origin or the EA desktop app, you can input a creator code. And those creators each have their own unique code and they get a small percentage of the sales. So whenever I saw that announced, I was like, oh, maybe there's the possibility with them testing this out, they'll move it to some of the sports games or like even just the console games in general. Moving forward, I think Ultimate Team modes might be the last to see that because I think Apex is Apex under EA Sports? Or not EA Sports, EA, I mean.
It's produced by EA.
Yeah, so I think some of the bigger games like that would definitely see it first, but maybe this is something like a year from now we'll eventually see. Because other games have had this, like Fortnite, right? Like those, and it's just another way where people can support a content creator that they're already purchasing something, and at least that without directly giving money to the content creator, maybe you don't want to give a subscription or donate money. It's still another way for them to make money, which I think is good.
No, absolutely. I would obviously, as a creator, that would be phenomenal to have implemented. I think that, you know, it really wouldn't impact. It wouldn't impact the consumer, like the player wouldn't. But for creators, it would definitely give another revenue stream. And I think that when it comes to sports games specifically, just as trying to make this from there's been a lot. I actually, as you were saying this, it reminded me of something on Twitch that was pretty insane in the industry that just got launched. I want to talk about that. It gives you guys, it gives creators another revenue source, and obviously, you know, as myself, I you know, left my pretty lucrative job and took a risk, but not everyone can do that, especially without guaranteed income. I talk about Twitch a lot. You know, the income fluctuates so much that it is stressful in a sense, but again, in the end, I'm playing video games. So like I don't feel more stressed than someone who is a roofer in July, right?
Like, yeah, that's like the worst, like unless you're an Alaskan king crab fisherman, like that's probably one of the least desirable for
they've
me.
Got it harder. Yeah. Their stresses are worse than mine. But you know, as you trying to plan your income, especially as you get older and your responsibilities get a bit higher, if you have a child or you're married, it's a lot easier when you're 22 and you know you still live at home, which is fine. I lived at home till I was like 24, 25. I understand the economy is very difficult to live, you know, out on your own. So take advantage of it, please, until you are ready to leave and never come back.
Yeah.
But yeah, like it's very difficult for people that want to do it. And the way that finding more revenue sources is the way that you can do that. So to take pressure off of Twitch, I like kind of pulling back the curtain on the business side of what I do. And the only way I was able to like self-sustain and grow to a pretty good financial point is like 10 different revenue streams, right? Like there's like sponsorships, G Fuel, for example. Yep, 30% off G Fuel using code NoSleeves this weekend, by the way. King's Coast, things like that. Then there's, you know, Twitch, YouTube, the esports broadcast that I do, all things like that. When you have more of those, it takes the pressure off of the big one, which is Twitch. because that's immediate. So people that start streaming on Twitch, you know, they get that one guy that gifts 50 randomly.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, this is easy, right? Because you can stream for a week, get your affiliate button, your sub button, and you're good to go. Whereas that's not sustainable to be able to plan with that. So what when you were talking about creator codes and how sweet that would be for creators, one thing that I thought about was what just happened on Twitch. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, I tweeted about it. I never run ads on my channel. And from all of my understanding, no one really in the NHL directory does really run ads. And I'm talking about like not the standard automatic Twitch ones you get when you jump into someone's stream and you're not subbed. That's just automatic from Twitch. If you experience an ad, it's not because someone has them on their stream and they want to punish you for not being subscribed. That's Twitch as a whole. It's how they make all their revenue. They make a fraction of their income on Twitch, Amazon as a whole, by subscriptions. So when you see XQC with a hundred thousand subs, that's really a drop in the bucket when you consider Amazon and what it costs to actually run Twitch. So they make all their money off advertisements, and it looks like they are really gunning for ads. So what just got launched, about 2 months ago, I received something as a partner, and I don't know if you did as well. You might want to check you just got partner, but I don't know if you did when you were an affiliate. It was an ad offer. So basically it was very low, something like $85 a month to run 2 minutes of ads for every hour you stream. And if you hit 150 hours or 160 hours streaming in a month, which is a lot, you would get a guaranteed $85. That was my offer, which is obviously very low. And I was like, I'm not going to make people that aren't subbed to me watch ads for $85. That just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, the MLB community, they're a lot more savvy with YouTube analytics, Twitch, all of that. And they are heavy on ads. And I just thought, okay, that's how they are. You know, it is what it is. Their numbers they pull in MLB are far higher than NHL. And I think that, again, with more creators, there's more competition, but there's also more experience and learning opportunity. When basically, there's five, I don't know how many full-time NHL content creators there are. Three off the top of my head I can think of. Like me, Henrik Thrash.
I mean, are we counting people that stream full time or people that actually support themselves full time?
Yeah, like that's what I mean. So, yeah. Like, you know, that you would consider full time. Like there isn't many. There's about 10 in MLB, and that's a lot when you consider like, you know, just like 10. That's, you know, almost three times the same the amount. That being said, I saw tweets of MLB creators being like, wow, the latest offer. So it looks like every first of the month you get a new offer, or every 6 weeks maybe. The offer that they got from Twitch for ads, to run ads on their channel, was life-changing. So I was like, I go and look at mine. I just streamed for 45 days,
yeah,
right? So I go and look at mine, and I got the same one. It was $85. And I'm like, I saw not just like two people. I saw like 10 MLB creators, even ones that aren't full-time, but that pulled like 50 to 100 viewers, okay? I go and I message one of them, and I'm like, man, I got to know, like, what am I doing wrong here? Am I missing something? Like, do I have to decline this to get something else? And they're like, do you run ads on your channel? I'm like, no. And it looks like they were like, I think that's why, man. So what they did over the last like 2 months, I got a DM from one of the MLB creators that had 2,000 subscribers on Twitch. Okay, 2,000 subs is a lot. Like that's more than what I would do on a normal month on during my subathon, obviously. But like 2,000 is exceptional in the NHL community, but it's like kind of like the medium in MLB. And he said, so for reference for that, some partners get 50%, some get 70, but let's assume 50. On $1,000, you're making $2,500. So on 2,000 subs, you're getting $5,000, right? Okay, so he goes, I had 2,000 subs last month.
I'm sorry, wait, you said 2,500 subs?
No, for every 1,000 subs you get $2.50.
$5,000. okay,
so $5,000, that's what he would get. He goes, the offer was more than that. And I was like, what?
And how many viewers does this, he gets 2,000 subs?
He was averaging like 120. I averaged 200 during 40 days. The amount of money, I'm not like, I'm grateful for the amount of money I made during my subathon, right?
Yeah.
But that'll probably never happen again. I'll be honest with you. Like, I won't ever make a subathon 6 minutes long. There was a few people in my community that were so generous that I don't even know how to put it into words. And then just everyone in my community just had it, kept it running. But I'm sitting there thinking, like, I just left like $6,000 to $10,000 on the table.
Yeah.
But what's more, what, like, outside of that, I live and learn. Oops, that's my mistake. So I've run ads now. I accepted the $85 a month one I got. I'm running ads now because what that does, let's take away the money standpoint, like that, and running ads and whatnot. If you're a normal creator, if you're a smaller creator, let's say 50 to yourself, you average like around 50 to 100 for the year, right?
Most of the year I was at like 100 to 110 year. Yeah.
Exactly. So imagine that. And now on top of that, let's say conservatively, you're getting $2,500 to run ads on your channel
for a month.
And this is all, yeah, per month.
You actually think I could do that,
dude? That's what I'm saying.
Some background. We've talked about it before, but like, you know, my wife's going to be off work for at least 6 months.
Yep.
I was lucky enough recently at work to get a raise. And I'm hoping by the time that her maternity leave would be over, maybe going hard on NHL 23 and some other things, I could turn this into a thing to replace her, some of her income, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, I hate to say it, I've always been against advertisement, but if I can get 1,000 to like 1,500, even if I get maybe even a little less than that, I'll be running ads. I hate to say it, but like, you know, what are you gonna say?
What's crazy about it though, it is only for viewers. The only ones that receive the ads are viewers that are not subscribed.
Okay.
So if you're if you regularly watch, this is why it was so nuts to me. And it makes, like, obviously during my subathon, literally everyone that watched me and people that weren't watching me got subscribed to my channel. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm like, dude, if I would have just run them, no one would have seen them. It wouldn't have impacted my numbers. And what's crazy is that because this is becoming so mainstream on Twitch, it sucks for the consumer. This is what happens in every social media or video platform.
Yeah.
They get big enough. And then the only way for that company to grow, you're going to see it on TikTok in like the next 6 months. TikTok has been incredible for growth of anyone. Like it's still the best bang for your buck. If you want to be a streamer, you need to spend 70% of your time on TikTok and then 30% on Twitch. But regardless, like, this is what happens. They go into ads. But because if you are subscribed, Twitch already got their $2.50, the $2.50, right? So they're not going to make you watch ads on top of it, but they can show the advertising company how many viewers got forced an ad, right? Like, but they don't see that how many were subscribed, anything like that. So this is it changes the game because there's been all this, like, once YouTube figures out the UI and the interface and some other things, like gifted subs they just added, Twitch is done. And I'm a full believer of that. If you are a full-time streamer and you're not making YouTube content, because YouTube will eventually just, when it decides to, eliminate Twitch, just like that. This is different because if Twitch can offer you, you know, 1,000 a month for, let's just say, like, that's mostly, like, conservatively, if people work 9 to 5, all right, you know, $40,000 a year, which is the average salary in North America, all right? I'm not talking people that make $100,000 and think that. I'm sure there's viewers out there that make $40,000 a year, right?
I'm sure it's a large majority, you know?
Yeah, if you can make $1,000 by streaming, here's the thing. To hit that, you have to stream about 180 hours.
A month?
So it is a lot of streaming. However, if you don't hit it, you receive the portion that was close to, like, you prorated.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Cause like somebody like me, I stream about eight.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that. Right. I stream about
I can't do that. Like, I just did it for 6 weeks, but now that that has ended, I'm having a really hard time this week. This is Thursday into the week. I've been streaming for 3 days so far. I'm having a really hard time just streaming for 3 hours. I'm burnt out on it. And, I know in the back of my mind, I need to be spending business wise more time on YouTube because, you know, my MLB stuff has been going good, but I play 900 hours of MLB. It doesn't matter how incredible of a game it is, which it is an incredible game, but there are flaws to it, and I've burnt out. It is not a game meant to be played 900 hours. It's just not. No sports game is, right? Yeah. So I just was blown away by that. So I'm hoping that I can run ads, and, you know, I did it 3 days, and what's crazy is there's a widget on your dashboard for anyone that's a streamer, and once you agree to the contract, it will literally tell you when the ad's coming. You can snooze it. if you're in the middle of a game and you don't want to. If you're on PC, if you're watching on PC and the streamer runs an ad like that and you're not subscribed, you'll go minimized and the ad will be full screen, but in the top right corner, you'll still see the stream. If you're on mobile, you get the full ad. But that's a game changer for a lot of people, because obviously just relying on subs and bits is very, very hit or miss. But if they're guaranteeing you basically like a part-time job salary every month that's guaranteed, YouTube can't do that. Because YouTube is dependent on, you know, they're so big, they're not going to offer that. They're not going to offer
that. That's insane.
I could not believe it when I got that DM. I was like, that more than $5,000 a month, and I was averaging like a lot. Like, dude, it made me sick. I went outside because I'm just like, you know, I made my subathon was incredible, and like I said, I don't think I'll ever have a span in which I'll ever be like that again.
You said that you did an NHL subathon at the beginning of the year.
True. But could, let's be real. Could you see? It would take me be transcending NHL.
Yeah, it would. Here, I know, but every single year you reset your like barometer there. What you want, and you say that like, because you did say that whenever NHL came out, and I think he hit like maybe 2,500 subs.
I think it was like 2,000. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like a ton
in 3 days. Like, yeah, it was 72 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think I would ever want to go. I'm never going through that again. Let's jump into this part because my health. So if anyone that doesn't know me, in 2017 when I started creating content, January 1st. I was at like my most unhealthy, and I think I weighed like 215. I'm only 5'9".
Yeah.
Okay. I weighed 215, the worst shape I've been in, started making content. And I was like, if I'm going to have this gimmick, I can't be out of shape. So I spent 16 months and got from 216 down to under 10% body fat. And it was great, but it was unsustainable. What I was doing was just not healthy. So then from like the end of 2019, when I started full time, I'd slowly picked away at that. It started to build back up. And then the subathon, bro, I haven't moved. You know, like, I wasn't going for walks, really. I was sleeping on the couch. I was in a chair for 16 hours a day. Like, just, I'll talk about baseball in a second, because I just played baseball last night. And I went to the gym on Monday, and my whole body was just completely sore, which I expected. But, like, dude, my cardiovascular ability to, like, go for a walk for an hour was just, which I used to do twice a day. I used to do, like, 8K walks, like, a day. And I was, like, just huffing. And I'm at, like, I jumped up. I'm higher than I've ever been in terms of weight. So, like, I am happy, though, that, like, I've already done it before once in my life. So I can kind of draw upon that experience. If I had never been like that and I was just always skinny my whole life and I jumped up to this, I would be pretty terrified. But I'm completely confident in being able to lose it all because I just know what goes into it. But man, so I played baseball last night. I played shortstop. I would like to say I'm pretty good at it. I've done it my whole like life essentially. But I just play slow pitch now. But still, the same demands are there usually. Like ground balls hit by a guy that's, you know, it'll smash at you. And after like three innings, I would go and, if anyone that plays baseball, I'd go and get like my stance. Like basically you just like, you know, spread your legs, you get ready a little bit, tense up a little bit. And my groin was killing me.
Yeah.
I go up to bat. I bat once halfway to first base, completely just I didn't tear my groin, but it was like, this is not comfortable. I literally had to switch with my first baseman. I was like, I got to play first, man. I can't move. And I was like, this is awful. I remember going back to my truck after the game and I was like, dude, this is unacceptable.
Are you still feeling it right now? That was last night, right?
I went for a walk and I was like, dude, this better not keep me out of the gym, because this is the last thing I need, is like an injury to keep me out of the gym. I went for a walk today and I was fine. But then when I got home, I did a little stretch, a little lunge, and I could feel it. So it's not that bad. I just gotta be careful with it. So I'm just not gonna squat for a little while, which is fine. But like, I'm only going to the gym twice a week. Like, I'm talking like weight training, just for this first little bit, because you go 6 weeks of just sitting in the chair, you can't go four times a week. I know what'll happen to me. I know, like, I'll get so burnt out that I can't do it. Also going to the chiropractor. For anyone that games, man, or you work in an office job, even you, dude.
Oh, I know.
That's 25 and above, even younger. Especially with this, how the generation is growing up by playing video games so much. I want you to think, when you play your video games mostly, if you put your elbows or your controller and you rest your arms on your thighs, you have a massive rounded back problem, and it is going to be it's going to cause extensive pain and things that you won't even realize. So I went to the chiropractor last year, no, right in COVID 2020. because when I was sitting playing video games, my legs were falling asleep. And I was like, what the hell? And then I just ignored it. And then what was happening was my hands were. And I'm like, I call my stepmom because I know she'd been a chiropractor. I'm like, I don't know if this is a back-related issue, but like, dude, my hands are falling asleep. Thought I was having a heart attack. Go to the chiropractor, 3 significantly pinched nerves in my back. I played video games the whole time. I had a really bad rounded neck. I basically had to wear a head weight, which is a headband with weight in the front, like right on your forehead, for 20 minutes a day to stand in my kitchen. And I just stand there like this, keep my head up, force fixed that, went and got adjusted 3 times a week, fixed that, and then I stopped going because you only really have to, once you've done that and your back is in alignment, you really only have to go get adjusted once a month, really, to make sure to maintain it. Because eventually, if your lifestyle, it'll just, your back will just start to curve again and you'll just start to have to need it again. So I've basically completely undone that. So going to the chiropractor. You've never been to?
Only once, and that was because I had like a neck issue or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I forget what I did, but I was just having some pain in my neck. So I went only one time, enjoyed it just because like I love cracking like my fingers, dude, my neck and stuff. And just hearing that like initial like crack that they did was extremely rewarding.
So that is only for pain relief.
Okay.
That does nothing long term. So this is all the things I learned. So like, yeah, you would go and get cracked, right? The cracking part is just for relief. So like, I love it because I have a stiff neck and you'll go and crack and I feel like I can just like turn my head all the way around my body. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. It's like when you're looking over your shoulder for the blind spot and you can just like basically look into your back seat.
Yeah.
That's all. The adjustment part is when they kind of lift the chair up or the table up and they press down on you and it feels like it does nothing. But you do it enough and you're pressing the right spot, you're basically pressing up against one of the discs that you have that's in need of adjustment. And but yeah, it's like everyone needs to go and look. I guarantee you your workplace offers insurance. If you're in Canada especially, you'll probably get about $500 for chiropractic care. Go find your local chiropractor, go once, get an adjustment done, and it'll save you in the future. Because yeah, dude, if you're on the toilet and you notice your legs fall asleep, and I know a lot of you guys out there.
Oh, yeah, that happens to me, yeah. Yeah, oh, and I think it's that plus the fact that I'll sit there for 20 minutes on my phone, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I look at the toilet as like a vacation, you know?
It's 100%. Not really. I think everyone does.
Yeah.
you wanted to talk about gambling on streams, though.
Yeah, dude, there was a couple things. So the first one was, because it's such a big story, right? If you go on like anything with like content creation or Twitch related. Yeah. Is the gambling streams, right? So we had one of the bigger maybe the biggest, XQC, right? Yep. He's up there. And in the past,
XQC is the biggest streamer.
He is the biggest streamer. Okay, I don't watch him, but like I'll read about the stuff. He's definitely not for me. So he, in the past, I guess he had talked about, you know, I don't want to say talk trash, but like, you know, anybody that does it, it's definitely wrong to do where, you know, you have these big streamers. They receive a credit or something from a gambling website. They'll gamble on stream. They're likely not gambling with their real money, but they're promoting this to a young audience, right? I know it might say 18 plus, but kids are watching it. You know that for a fact. Yep. So he just went back to gambling on stream, and he's receiving a lot of backlash for it. And there's somebody, and I'm not going to say the name, but somebody that used to be in the community that, you know, I saw it, and this guy made like a crazy bet, right?
700,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Yeah, and it's like I struggle with if I was in that position, and that's why I don't want to talk negatively about these people, right? Because if I was in that position, it's like you're receiving money that can set up your family for life and you never have to worry about anything, right? If you have a kid or something, it's like, you know, I understand I'm advertising these things to minors, but also like my family's taken care of for life. So where do you draw the line? But dude, I just don't know what to think of it because I don't know what I would do in that situation, right? I think if you have enough money to where you never have to worry about money anyway, it's wrong to do. If you're somebody coming from a situation where you're just going into that, it's probably a hard decision. But I do think Twitch needs to just ban it altogether. That's my opinion of it.
I think, yeah, man, like it's awfully difficult. I'm wondering what, an alternative. So let's say Rubet is a popular one. Okay, Rubet's a popular online gambling site that a lot of like streamers use and whatnot. I'm wondering if, like, instead of offering to do it on Twitch, they just streamed it on Rubet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the thing, though. Who would watch that? Because it's like,
that's the issue. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, I mean, realistically, it's just wrong in general, right? You know, I know the NHL community like skews older. Mm-hmm. But if you were playing like Fortnite, all of a sudden you switch to stake.com or whatever it's called. And you're like, yeah, I just want to gamble. And they, and some kid sees you like betting like $100,000. It's not your real money. It's pretty messed up, in my opinion.
That it definitely is. And I think that they did come down. Twitch, I want to say last year, I thought we were banned them, but it wasn't. It was like a, so there's something that they have to do if they're going to stream. I don't know. I could have sworn that there was something that Twitch was implementing. They were, I think maybe it was just rumored they were getting rid of it, like not allowing it at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely, I'm not going to lie. I grew up in Niagara Falls. We have the biggest casino in Canada here. I struggled with gambling in my 19 to 20. I would basically gamble my check. We'd get paid. We'd get cash our check. I'd make like my $800 or whatever I made. And we would go to the casino and sit there on the roulette table for like 12 hours. And it was bad. And then I finally decided like I just hate gambling after a point. And I didn't gamble until like, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I would guess, by the way, the reason that you gamble is because your channel is largely sports focused, right? You play NHL. Mm-hmm. A lot of your friends on here also gamble. It's a social thing. You know, it's something to talk to people about, right?
I find, so specifically, let's talk like, well, first of all, it's very easy. So FanDuel, let's talk, this is a big thing. FanDuel in Ontario just became a huge thing. I'm seeing a lot of tweets about this as well. That on CBC and Sportsnet, on all of the Canadian broadcasts for the NHL, they are heavy pushing gambling.
Yeah.
And that's because FanDuel and online sports, or I mean, I think it's online sportsbook, just became like legal in Ontario. And obviously Ontario holds, I want to say like 60 or at least 50% of the population of Canada, probably more. So that's gigantic. And FanDuel is a really nice app. It's very simple, very clean, very easy. I used to have to use Bodog. Bodog.
Yeah, because I used that whenever I was like 13 to play poker online. Like, I remember Bodog,
It's a little like sketch looking, but it did the trick. But FanDuel is very easy. It's a legitimate, you know, run, obviously, thing. It's very trusted, and it's being pushed a lot. And the one thing, that reason why I recently, during the playoffs, I was watching every playoff game on stream. And I was like, if I don't have a dog in there, I think this is the problem with NHL. It's every playoff round usually gets less and less interesting. This year's a little bit different because of the teams that made it.
Yeah.
But if you look at viewership, it tends to go down where other sports go up. The first round of the NHL playoffs is the best round of sports. Because you have underdog matchups, you have usually, because of the division system, there's division rivals, like, you know, Toronto, like the intrigue of Toronto alone. I was basically betting on everything, but I've gambled long enough to know that like my units are like, for anyone, unit is the denomination of money that you usually make on every bet. So if you make multiple bets, let's say $10 is your unit, it's no more than $20.
Yeah. And you usually start with like a bankroll, right? So like a unit should be like a 0.5% to like 1%. Is that
roughly,
it?
Roughly. Yeah. 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 Roughly. Yeah. My, what I do now is I start with 100. I use $10 units and slowly build it up. And I, during the playoffs, during my subathon, really, the first round, I had managed to get like $600 and I cashed out 500, and then I'm back down to 100. Same situation, then I just do it again. If I lose, then I only deposit again if I'm going to watch a couple games or an event that I don't have a ton of interest in, but I'm going to watch it anyways. That's why I like to gamble, to make that event that I'm watching a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. And I'm in the same boat with you, because I really enjoy that. Like, if I go to a game, I'll put like 50 or 100 on it, because it like, it makes that game more exciting in person. Like, I'll do that with Penguins games or something.
And I think that what's different about what's going on Twitch is slots and stuff like that, where obviously gambling's gambling, but like, dude, if you're watching the odds to win on slots at a casino or a table game at the casino, you know, are so like, it's there's a reason why they make money. And I think that's where you're just flushing money down the drain. At least with sports, you have a little bit of control.
You have a little bit, but it's still against you. And that's the thing I don't like. 100%. And I had a tweet like this week or last week. And I think the advertisement altogether should be banned, because it's like, no matter what you watch, right? Like, you watch a halftime show, you watch a hockey playoff game, it's like, this is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, you know? And then they have the odds on the screen, and it's like they're advertising to adults, but it's like there's a ton of kids watching. You turn 18, you want to make an account on FanDuel. They bring you in with this amazing, like, oh, bet a dollar, win $200. And then, but you still have to, you know, play with that money. You can't withdraw it.
It's tough, man. I think that, like, because recreational gambling is super fun.
Yeah, and, like, but how many people can do that, though, right? Like,
not many. But I mean, I would bet you. I would think that there's probably like 70% of people who gamble daily or gamble on things are recreational gamblers and not people addicted.
Yeah, but that other percent's still a large percentage.
It's bad, but that stems from a bigger issue. They probably have a very addictive personality they need to learn. And that's just something in life. Like, the business needs to run, because the amount of money that I think the NHL gets a large portion, and, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because what would you do with, like, Vegas and stuff? Like, not, you wouldn't change anything.
I am not saying gambling should be illegal. Yeah, I am not saying that. I'm taking a business law class right now in my MBA program, and we have to choose, like, a topic to write a paper about on. And it was like a business law that you might change, and I'm doing mine on gambling advertisement.
Okay.
But yeah, I think all that stuff's great, because I enjoy it. You know, like, I used my grandmother's credit card when I was 13 to create a poker, account.
That's
on Bodog.
Good.
That's terrible. And that's what you're saying. That's terrible. Right. And it's like, and I don't know, like, I just think a lot of people a lot of people have the possibility to have an addiction. And also somebody brought up a good point, on my tweet. Somebody replied, and it's like, we're also being, like, trained to do these things at such a young age, right? So, like, Ultimate Team modes, we're being fed, like, from the time we're a kid, to gamble. My cousin has four girls, right? And they were really into this one, it's like an LOL doll or something, right? So you buy these, like, eggs, and you have, like, a 5% chance to get, like, this really cool doll in it. But, like, a lot of the other ones that you get are just shitty. It's, like, all this stuff in our life. And maybe it's always been like that. And maybe now that I'm an adult, like, I'm just starting to see
it.
You
notice it?
Yeah, but it's, like, dude, Ultimate Team, man. Like, you know?
Ultimate Team is all gambling.
And it's all gambling.
You're right. You are right in that aspect. I love it. You guys, if you're watching this on the videos portion, let us know in the comments what you think on it. If it impacts you, if it annoys you, if you watch gambling streams, if you've gone through that kind of thing. Because, yeah, like, I remember I had a contract to it was with a company called Bet Warrior, and I had to do it. And I don't have a problem. Like, I was doing, like, watch parties, and I was like, here are the bets that I made for the night. I didn't have a problem with that, because I have no problem gambling in a very reserved way, and for the most part. But I didn't like having to be like, hey guys, you should go sign up. Like, I hated that.
Yeah,
like,
I'd imagine that's terrible.
And I told them that I won't ever do it again. And my audience is old. Like, I'll be honest with you, I probably have the oldest audience in the NHL community. It's probably not close. Like, I would say 25 and above is my average.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't enjoy it at all, man. Like, and you know, I feel you. Like, when I do bets now, I feel like, and I talk about them, it's all sports related. I would never do slots or anything like that. I've never found interest in them, because I feel like I have no control.
Dude, and that's what I hate about it. And that's why I like, you know, following, like, the poker laws in this country. Like, there was a time where online poker was banned, I believe, and then it's, like, opening up in some states. I think if there's a game of skill, right? Like, so we can say poker's a game of skill. I know that for sure. Yeah. Video games, right? So, like, with Gamer Saloon and stuff like that, that's a game of skill. You control the outcome 100%. Obviously, there's some luck factors involved. Pretty much everything else, like, I don't know of anything else you can gamble on, is, like, you know, you have control over.
You control. Yeah. I'm sure there's things that we're not thinking of, but yeah.
Yeah, like Baccarat or something. I don't know what, you know, whatever games there are.
No, but yeah, like, I definitely, it's a very touchy subject. I don't personally watch them, but there's people in the NHL community that I know that are underage, and I'll see them tweet out, like, their bets and whatnot, and I'm just like, man.
Dude, and that's, I hate seeing that too, because you'll see, like, hey, why don't you tweet out all your other losses there, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody will tweet out, like, a $3 parlay where they won $20 on, and I'm like, hey, cool, congratulations.
Yep. Yeah. It's awfully rough to see. And there's nothing you can do about it. Cause yeah, you're right. I think ultimate team modes probably do parlay a lot of that into gambling.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you want to talk about next?
Oh yeah, dude, I had one more thing. Yeah. Cause I guess all these topics I always get, inspired by, I guess, what I read on Twitter. Right. So I saw Safir, who is a competitor in GWC. I think he had like an interview or something, like a professional job
he's a
interview.
He's a competitor in GWC, eh?
Yeah, he was, right? He's the eliminated me, allegedly.
Dude, somebody commented and said, "Wow, Sleeves, no empathy at all."
I saw that
and then
one.
Went right to the, and I was like, "Bro, come on." Yeah, he doesn't understand the dynamic.
That was a funny joke.
I wanted Kesso to win. Trust
yeah,
me.
I've had some good ones on you. Maybe they don't make the podcast, but I think in general, I'm probably the hardest on you. Whenever it comes to stuff like that.
I think so, yeah. You roast me pretty good. You don't really let me get away with something.
Yeah. But I was saying, so he had like a job interview or something, mm-hmm. and he was saying that he felt streaming helped him in the interview, right? Like talking to people mm-hmm. and stuff. And I've noticed that in my, I think, professional experience too. I used to be like a really shy person. I was always good on like those one-on-ones and stuff, but like I would like get nervous, like big groups and all that. And now I'm like 29. I've streamed for a couple years, right? So like regularly to like 30 to like up to like 150 people or something. There's that. You and I get on camera together every week for an hour. And like I have this perception at work that I'm like this very social person. And I'm good at talking to people in like certain situations. And I think it's literally due to like, I'm on camera all the time, like talking to people about NHL, like all that stuff. And it's amazing the transformation I think that's happened in my life. And then seeing Safir mention it to him, just like that comfort you get, right?
If you go back and listen to like our first episode, bro, I would love to listen to our first episode because it was very rigid. And I feel like when I used to like interrupt you and whatnot, because I would try to like carry the conversation.
Yeah.
You become much, much looser. Like it's a lot more. And I think that like, yeah, like 100% streaming definitely helps with that. Like people that are nervous, like there's a lot of content creators, people that play video games in general, more than likely as a whole are very, you know, don't have a ton of, you know, social awareness, or they're awkward in social situations and things like that. And then you realize they build up like a 100 viewer thing and they don't care about what you're saying, right? Like I get extremely nervous talking to people until I say the first word.
Okay.
And once I say my first sentence, it's like a buildup. I'm like, oh my God, am I going to say that right? But then once I start talking, I'm completely fine. I do it with broadcasts. Like I just hosted at the NHL. And this year I felt a lot more calm. Dude, I remember last year when I had to fill in for Arda for that one stream, I didn't sleep the night before. I was like, oh my God. And then leading up to this one, where Carlin, she had to cover the Kings game. So she's actually the host. I'm just the play-by-play guy for the broadcast. And he was like, oh, we're gonna need you to host. And I was like, all right, sure. And we went through the script and everything like that. And it went good. I think it went great. And I think that it just comes with doing it more and more.
Yeah, I think forcing yourself to do things too. I went into the office on Monday. We have like a town hall where like the CEO and like a couple other people talk every couple weeks. They'll bring mm-hmm. on some guests to talk about like the work they do and all that. And I went in because they started to do like a hybrid. They'll like stream it, but then they'll also do it in person as well. And afterwards, there were like a lot of, I want to say like 20 to 30 people there. I noticed I think he was a CTO, really cool guy. In the past, I probably wouldn't have went up and talked to him, but like I hadn't met him before. And I had remembered he had worn a Baby Yoda shirt, like a Mandalorian shirt. So like he didn't even know my name, but I went up to him and talked to him for like 5 minutes about Star Wars. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, my name's Brian, you know, like, but like stuff like that, to where in the past I might not have done that. But just like that, just, you know, the comfort, you know, but I was a little nervous, I think, leading into it. Right. Once you say like the first thing, you're good. Once you start to talk to people.
But the anticipation.
Yeah, so you have to force yourself to do a lot of things, and then that like unease goes away.
Yeah, I remember when I was trying to get involved in the GWC, and in 2019 I flew out to Vegas, the finals, and I remember forcing myself to go talk to like the head of the GWC, I mean, Chris Gallier works mm-hmm. for the NHL, and I'm just like, oh, okay, we're gonna have to. I had to do it because I knew that if I talked to this person and got you know, and told, said what I had to say, that like hopefully that he would, you know, think about me the next time that like stuff's going on. And sure enough, like, ended up working. I mean, I'm now the play-by-play for the GFBC. But yeah, like, I think that, you know, definitely this industry forces you to talk to, like, there's people I'll meet that are viewers. Rumpel, who's in my chatting list.
Yeah, oh, he's
like,
great. Yeah.
Yeah. He literally came down with his girl and we went out for dinner, and I was a little nervous. I'm always nervous meeting people that I've never seen or talked to. Right. But I can get a good, you know, vibe if they're in my chat enough that, you know, if or whatever. So we went out for dinner and it was great. And, you know, but the, going there, you're a little nervous, you know, because you don't know what to expect. And then, but yeah, like, you can, I think that streaming definitely helps out with that. And, you know, Saphir, I remember meeting Saphir in at the Leafs Gaming League in at the LAN. And yeah, he was one of the quiet people. There's a lot of people in this community that are loud online, but not like, I'm not talking about like in a bad way. Some are. Mm-hmm. And they're very, very shy in person. But it's the same thing. Like, that's just, if you take people that play video games at all, like, you know, generally, like, they're going to be a little more shy. But no, streaming definitely helps out with that, because you have to take away the shyness. Even though you can't see the person talking, you still know in the background, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, I don't know. This is my part now. I don't know what to do next. I'm going through like a, like, subathon's finished. It was 6 weeks. It was insanity. And now I talked about this a little earlier. I think it's probably burnout.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I'm not hyped to stream and I'm not hyped to make YouTube videos right now. And I'm forcing myself a little bit. But I'm not sure what to do now. And I'm business wise, I don't know what the next play is. Like, it's so funny. A lot of people talk about like, you know, like money and, you know, whatever. There's a lot of creators that I know personally that are money focused, which is important. I it's always something that I haven't paid attention to. It's like, you know, the money from the subathon was great, but the notoriety it got me, I value more.
Yeah.
Right. Some stuff like that. And I just don't know my next goal, I think, because I like to, you know, I went and looked at my 2022 goals that I wrote down. And one of them was like, you know, an X amount of dollars made from Twitch. And I was like, cross that off because of the, you know what I mean? I'm just like stunned. I was stunned at that. And I'm just like, now I don't know like what my next thing is. I got the GWC, right? And maybe this is like, people will receive this as like an ego thing, but like, I'm looking at, if you're listening to this, you're obviously a viewer, or maybe you're Kesso's viewer and you're, you know, I don't know what would be the next cool thing for me to do, whether it be in the NHL community or just gaming or streaming in general. And I'm like lost without it, because once I have an idea of something, dude, like, I just stream for 6 weeks straight.
Yeah.
I can do some pretty nuts things with my mind and put myself through like the ringer. I remember like in NHL 21, like, I streamed 450 days straight, some nuts like that. Like, but I just don't have like that thing. And the only thing I can come up with is that I don't have is the silver play button on YouTube. And it's, but I know that it's very difficult to get with NHL.
Yeah.
So that's 100,000 subs on YouTube. I'm at 38,000, I think, and it's a dead time in NHL where just like creators across the board in the NHL community, the subs just don't come. Your views might stay the same because people are still watching you, the people that regularly watch you, but the subs just don't come. The newer people, and I'm just like, man, I don't know. And I'm just kind of bored. What would you you have, you know, you're a streamer in the NHL community, and you are one of my closer friends in the community. Like, do you have something that you think I should strive for?
Dude, I think obviously we're in different positions in terms of like content career. You know, you're like way up here and I'm like literally bottom of the barrel whenever it comes to that. But we're at a similar position for the summer, right? Like where you are at right now. The only difference is you're still doing it. I'm just taking a break. I think how I'm treating it, it's a good time to work on yourself, right? And what you're already doing, you're going to the gym. And it's like, and I know you might not see it, like, because there's like not that goal you can cross off. Finding a way to add it into there. I think reading is a good thing to do.
I want to talk about you just reminded me of a book I want to talk about. Carry on.
Yeah. So I mean, this summer, like, I'm trying to treat it as like working on myself, especially with a kid coming. And I was talking to somebody about this recently, but it's like, I don't know. It's like this huge, I'm so excited, but I'm also like just trying to make sure like I'm the best person I can be, because like I have this human that is just going to look up to me, and I'm going to be like the best person in the world. But I also want to make sure like I'm going to raise them to be the best person they can, which I know she's still not here yet or whatever. And it's a lot to think about. But like there's just like certain like, you know, how do you talk to a kid? How do you make sure they have like the mental strength growing up? Right. Like, what are the things that we can do? Like, we're already looking at like the gymnastics classes and stuff she can get into at like 6 months. I think a lot of that, like I'm reading this one book right now on, it's called, What Happened to You. Right. And it's like, how do adults deal with, trauma that happened to them as a child. Right. So like, I've talked about it a little bit in on the podcast where like, I just had shitty parents and there was like a lot of shitty things that happened to me as a child, but like, there's certain things that like, you don't realize how they impact you as an adult. And some people might never realize that, right? So like, I'm trying to understand myself a little bit better. So hopefully I can raise my child better, you know? For you, obviously, different situation, but I think just understanding how you work, which maybe you're already at that point, but just working on your own mental health, you know?
I think, yeah, like, no, you make a great point. I think that like, part of me just wants to go away in the summertime.
Yeah.
And I, honestly, I'll be very open about this. Like the NHL gig that I landed allowed me like I don't need to be worried about the dollars. Right. But the problem is that like, I'm so obsessed with growth and numbers. Like I don't, the money is not as important to me as like, if I were to not make YouTube videos and I don't grow on YouTube month over month, and I'm having a really hard time with that. I have made a decision though to not stream weekends at all. A, because viewership in the NHL directory really crumbles on the weekends, which is so odd. And it leads me to believe that the NHL directory on Twitch is just so old.
It's just dudes watching it work. That's all it is.
And I talk about this all the time, man. Like my chat will go quiet for like an hour and I'll have like 150 people in there and people will be like, yo, where, like, are you view botting? And I'm like, nah, dude, they just got to file their TPS reports before 4:30. Yeah, exactly. I'll be like, yo, press one if you're at work. And it'll just be like a wall of ones. I know that. And on the weekend, it's just not, you know, again, maybe I'll miss out on some subs. Okay. But I think that I've done enough where like, I don't really, you know, I don't think that's as important as spending time with my wife, who I just could not spend time with really during my subathon, or, you know, spending time with my dog. So what I do now is like up until noon, I don't do anything. Like I go to the gym, I go for a long walk. I'm eating really well. So I found like the kind of like the diet niche, not the diet, because the diet, I think, implies that there's an end to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like the things that I know I could eat consistently day over day that I enjoy. So a nice like egg white wrap with some cheese on it, under 300 calories. Nice little shake that I know how to make. Some steak, sweet potatoes, all that. I'm really enjoying that. And then my mornings have been really nice. Dialing back on the coffee. This is the only thing I have right before I start streaming. I have one G Fuel. That's it. And then I've been able to like go to bed at like no time past 11:30 so that I can get a full 8 hours of sleep, which is something I don't know if I've ever had.
Yeah.
So I definitely think, and I also, so I talked about this a while ago. I started reading The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Great book. I think everyone should read that book at least one time in their life. Whether it'll change you or not, I think it just opens your eyes, especially if you are on social media a lot. And if you find that you are debating with people on social media,
yeah,
you should really read that book. Or maybe you have a group of friends that are just annoying to you, but you like, they're your friends, so you can't like do anything. What I started reading was, there was this YouTuber, oh my God, I can't remember his name. And he talks about one night, it was during the subathon actually, when I was trying to fall asleep, I would just go on YouTube a little bit. And he was like, the five books you have to read, or the five most important, like, I don't want to say self-help books, but are life-changing ones. And one was Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And the other one was, I Will Teach You to Get Rich, or I Will Teach You How to Be Rich by Ramji Sethi, I think is what his name is. And I was like, okay, sure. Started reading it. And it was like, man, it was like the idiot's guide to, you know, it's like, don't, the opening line is like, man, you want to, he's like, you want to blow your, or you want to have that expensive latte every day? Go ahead. And I was like, that like hooked me in, because like every book is like, you need to cut back on this. No, you're wasting this. And like the whole foundation of the book is like, spend whatever you want on the things that you love. Be extremely frugal with the things that you don't.
Yep.
And it's like, it'll give you like step-by-step things on like more, the first chapter is like credit cards. And it's like, you should have credit cards. This is how you should use them effectively. You carrying debt is fine. Maximize, it gives you scripts to call the credit card companies to maximize the rewards and things. If say you're in debt a lot and it's maxed, he gives you a script on what to do to call the credit card companies and like, I don't have that problem. But like, I was thinking about like, man, I travel and I don't take advantage of like any reward program. I'm using like my basic Visa and just like things that were like I'm very interested in. So it's been really good so far. So yeah, it's called I Will Teach You How to Get Rich or How to Be Rich. Really, really good book. But yeah, I agree. I think it's I'm trying really hard not to be obsessed with like, oh my God, I did make a YouTube video
today. Yeah, and it's hard because you're trained to think that way, you know, and it's like, how do you get out of that?
And my peers aren't doing that. So like my peers that are on like the level in the NHL community, like Thrash and Henrique, everyone always compares everything that we do that we're, you know, against each other. When that's all because of how Twitch is done and YouTube is done. And you guys all think that we're in this big competition together, but that really isn't the case. But the one thing I will say that I gauge it on is if they're the one problem is that when they're still doing stuff, I feel guilty that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because of how like the world is when it comes to content creation. It's like, oh, dude, you know what I mean? Like where I really don't care if they have a great month. It doesn't impact me any, but it makes me feel like crap if I don't. Right. And that's just something I'm trying to get past and worry about for NHL 23 as it comes along. But yeah, I think this summer is going to be very different. I'm trying to be much more relaxed and a lot more healthy. And I have to be, dude, like I can't. I legitimately will not allow myself to stay at the physical weight and just like health that I am.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah. I mean, and, no, because we're at that age now where it's like, you can't.
It's not just about like looks and confidence, sort of. It's like, dude, like you're not healthy.
Yeah. Like, it's like the decisions you make now. It's like, am I going to live to 65 or 85? Yep. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But all right, that's enough serious stuff.
Yeah.
Let's talk about our top five celebrity crushes. So the parameters of this, like when you were a kid up until like 18.
Yeah, I didn't want anything. Once you get over like a certain age, it gets creepy. You know, we see enough of the creepiness in the NHL community with how these kids act, right? So
true. You know, I have one that's like in my early 20s.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Okay.
We'll see. Right, depending on what you say, you know, if you're like, yeah,
I guess, yeah.
You know, I watched her videos every single day. Like, I think if it's that, then...
Let's be clear. This is like you'd watch TV and like she was like, you're still
yeah, she was cute, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. All right, you go first. Who's your
number
five?
All right, dude, my first one, I'm going in chronological order here. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm going in chronological order. So whenever I was like five, it was the first concert I went to in my life, Baby Spice. Dude, I was like five or six. Loved the Spice Girls. Had a crush on Baby Spice. And she, I don't know why. I remember going to the concert and she would like, I think the Spice Girls would bring a kid up to the stage. And I remember being very jealous because like we were out in the lawn seats and she brought up this like little chubby kid that was probably my age. And I was like, oh, why is he up there? And I'm not. But I'll go Baby Spice number five.
Okay, I didn't go anywhere to that yet because I couldn't think back. Dude, the only one I could think about, which is so funny when you were trying to tell me this, was like Helen Hunt because I was obsessed with Twister. But like all the other Helen Hunt movies, I'm like, no, that's not it. Yeah. So that's just because I was obsessed with Twister. All right, I will go when I was like one of the weirdest movies. Like, do you remember like the horror movie scene that wasn't like slashers but it was like creepy ones, I guess? One of them is called Wrong Turn, and Eliza Dushku was like, when I was in high school, was like my peak celebrity crush, I think. Or maybe it was even younger than that. I don't know when Wrong Turn came out. When did Wrong Turn come out?
Dude, I don't even know that movie, but I think I know who this is because I just googled her while you were
she's
saying.
Also in a really funny cheerleader movie that like,
oh, Bring It On.
Bring It On. Yeah, she's in Bring It On. Yeah, so I'll go with Eliza Dushku.
Okay. All right. My next one, well, my next two can go together, but my next one, Christina Aguilera. So, looking back on this stuff, so I was talking to my wife about this recently. So she got big whenever, I think it was Genie in a Bottle came out. She was probably underage, right? She was probably like 16 to 18. I think a lot of them were like the pop stars.
Like Britney Spears were, yeah.
Yeah, dude. the songs, man, how sexualized some of these like teenagers
brutal,
were and stuff,
dude.
It's messed up to look back at that. And I think it's
what
changed
was the
a little
Christina
bit.
Aguilera one where she's in like a boxing ring. Cause now thinking back, like that's awful.
I know what you're talking about.
What song is that, dude? I'm trying to think of the song that is, because I'm pretty sure there's a documentary about her explaining like that was like the worst ever. I can't remember the song title, but the music video was awful.
Dirty?
Looking
was
back.
That it?
Yeah, yeah. I think
yeah,
that was it.
Dude, yeah. It's just so like, oh man, it was messed up what they did to them, you know, at that time. Because that's all like agents, like studios and stuff doing that, yep. Like music labels. So, but brutal. Hey, I was like six or seven, like I, you know, whatever.
Christina Aguilera is a good one. Honestly, probably one of mine as well. I didn't write that one down, though. I will go with my next one will be Sophia Bush. I loved One Tree Hill. And Brooke Davis, definitely like my celebrity crush in when One Tree Hill was big. She also had like a really deep voice, which is weird. But oh, it was like very unique.
It's very, yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah, because somebody on my list has a unique voice. So
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a singer. Next. Britney Spears. Right around that Christina Aguilera time, you know?
I think I was too old. Or, like, it was, like, not cool.
Yeah,
like,
because you're... How old are you
again? I wasn't allowed to, like, listen. I'm 2 years older than you. I'm 32.
Okay, so 30. You're 3 years older then. When was your birthday?
Yes. January 29th.
Okay, yeah, so you're about, like...
I'm a 90.
Okay, yeah, so about 3 years older then.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that makes sense because, like, you're probably in, like, fourth grade. I was in first grade, mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah.
Like, I love Limp Bizkit.
I mean, I did like too, but yeah.
Back then, you like weren't allowed to like, dude, like the society as a whole.
Well,
like,
once like Eminem came around, right, and it was like cool to hate on the pop stars, right?
Yes. Good point.
It was like, and it was like the like boy thing, like the manly thing.
Dude,
and society like, again, like, was so different though. Like, I know
dude,
it's
you
only
weren't allowed to be soft. Like, you were not allowed to be soft at all, which is awful.
For as much as people want to like hate on like, oh, the new generation or whatever, like, I never want to be like that. But there's been like a ton of progress in that type of thing.
Dude, I'll give you a perfect example. Justin Timberlake. Like, you were not allowed to like JT at all. But then once he did Alpha Dog and he came out with, like, his first, like, solo album, he was, like, really cool.
Dude, Sexy Back is, like, the greatest song of all time, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, and it was, like, completely acceptable. Like, I love JT.
Yeah.
And, so, like, that was – and him in Social Network, like, he's a very good actor.
Yeah.
But, yeah. My next one is Evangeline Lilly from Lost. She played Kate Austin.
Was she the main actress? Yeah.
Yeah. Loved her in when she was on Lost. She always had the crazy stuff in the show. Like, she was always the one that was like, if there was like an issue or like a weird sound in like the four, she'd like run in. Like, I don't know. I just thought she was badass. So, Evangeline Lilly.
That was a good one. I like it. These are kind of like off the board a little bit, you know? My next one, Scarlett Johansson. Watching some of those movies, like
that's a really good one.
Like 13, 14, like it's like, you know,
she was definitely
and she has that like raspier, like deeper voice.
She does.
You know,
yeah. She has a
great
more
actress
unique voice
too. Yeah,
no, absolutely. My next one is Summer. Like Rachel Bilson was probably like my first like celebrity crush that I can remember. I loved The OC. It's like I've talked about this.
I knew that was going to be one of them. Yeah.
Yeah. Rachel Bilson from The OC. She got kind of her character like got kind of annoying in like the last season, but they were running out of stuff to do. But no, definitely loved Summer from The OC.
Okay. My last one. Zooey Deschanel. I remember watching 500.
Oh, dude, 500 Days of Summer.
Oh, dude, actually, okay. Yeah, right, yeah. Right. Like, how could you not fall in love with her watching that movie? And which
dude,
is, it's funny
great,
because that's like,
this.
Yeah, it's like that movie. I think a lot of
like
young guys watch the movie, right? And they fall in love with her or something,
to.
Right?
Dude,
but like she's the villain in it. She's kind of like she messed up.
Horrible, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, what's funny is that every guy, dude, your old man will never prepare you for this. The first relationship that you have where it's a real relationship, if you're in high school, listen to this specifically, the first one you were not prepared for ever, because the only woman in your life that you've loved is probably your mom, you know, or your grandma, or like your family member, someone that's close to you. Once you have your first like relationship, you are not prepared for when it ends. And if that is the case and you are struggling mightily dealing with it, watch 500 Days of Summer. You know, you cry, whatever. You'll become a better person at the end of it.
It's still one of my favorite movies. The soundtrack, if you ever have time, dude, today, this week or something, go back and put that soundtrack on Spotify. One of the better ones. Yeah.
My last one is a little bit older, but like the character is so badass. Also, my wife's like big celebrity crush, and I can barely say her name. Okay, it's Marie I want to say it's Marie Avgeropoulos. She's very Greek. She plays Octavia in the 100.
Okay.
And dude, her character is insane.
Like, is this the one from your like early 20s?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like when she gets, yeah, like she becomes like this like blood queen that just like beats the piss out of people. Like it just is wild. Like her character is what makes it. But yeah, it's also like my wife's celebrity crush.
There you go. That works.
That was my last one.
Okay. That was a good list.
That was pretty good. Yeah.
I respected yours. I respected yours because they were like, you know, either an actress or something or a little bit off the board, yeah. Not somebody you immediately think of.
I was trying to think of like I said, Helen Hunt was the only one that came to mind because I honest to God watched Twister probably once a day when I was like a kid. I was so obsessed with it. So like that was the only one I could think about when I was a kid.
Yeah.
What's our next one?
We have to think of one, right? So I think
top five.
Yeah, this week's was really good. We can do top five junk foods, like a snack or something.
Might all be the same thing.
Is it all chocolate?
It'd all be chips.
Okay, all right.
Let's do, and I don't like candy. Let's what about top five video games?
Top five single
most
player.
Most played.
Top five
most
single, what about top five single player?
Sure, that works.
Yeah, because I feel like...
Yeah. NHL. With those multiplayer.
Yeah, and then it's like, what, are you going to have NHL 09 through 14 or something? Yeah, you know, yeah, it gets lame. Yeah. So top five single player games.
Are we going to do non-sports games?
We could do non-sports, but then it's like Call of Duty too. Do you want to? You would have Halo.
That big. I think I might have Halo just from. I guess no single player. Single player is fine. Top five single player games.
Are we going with a specific iteration?
No. The top five. Let's say the top five single player games that you played, hours played.
Okay, that works.
Okay. And I think that's easiest. It'll be interesting because it's so wild. My wife is 2 years younger than me, so she's only a year older than you. But like because of the era that we grew up in, 2 years is massive. We saw it when the cartoon thing.
Yeah, we did.
We did top five cartoons. It was drastically different. And I'm only 3 years older than you, but it's just like there isn't, you know, I mean, like that change in the early 2000s, like every single industry was trying way new things. And it was like all of the best or like what we considered like the peak of like video games and like music and all that kind of stuff. So like it's very, you know, it's very cool to see. I'd be curious to see what your video game list is for. I wonder if we have any that are similar.
I bet we do. We'll find out, right?
We'll find out. All right, guys, let us know. Yo, let us know your top five celebrity crushes in the comments if you're watching this on YouTube. Appreciate it. We'll be back for episode 34 next week. And yeah, we'll see you then, guys.